And blessed to be with you, Kevin Miller in the morning. Dave Pezzo with us, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Thank you for joining us, sir. We missed you yesterday.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to be in today. Thanks for reversing. You know, the markets are closed on Martin Luther King Day.
Well, they're closed, but you know, the news watch never stops right here on the old KIDO talk radio. Four good days for you in the markets. You must be pretty happy last
week. Very happy. Last week was good. And actually, it's, three or four weeks in a row now, Kevin. So the market's been up. In fact, since the bottom, we're up 12%. That's a big jump. And that's, again, back to those lessons of, just when it looks dark, which was the day, Christmas Eve, and just when it looks the darkest, we turn around and rally huge. And we did. We were up 1,000 points the day after Christmas, and it kept going after that. So, you have to stay in the game. I just read an article last night that was talking about one company had $13 billion coming out of it. And it just went, wow, what is wrong with people? This is not a hard game to play. Apparently it is emotionally when markets go down, they just bail. It's weird.
Let me take issue with you for a moment, because there are some things that you should get out of. And I find it tough. Look at GM when they went under.
Okay, if you're talking about individual companies, you're absolutely right. The overall market, which is the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? The overall market, or a mutual fund, or ETFs, however people want to trade things, that have a big basket of securities in them, you just have to stay in the game. You just do. And it is absolutely deadly to get out.
Indeed, but I go back to that. I mean, GM went under, some of these others went under. I think GM's in trouble again.
I do too, Kevin. I got to say, I don't. The big industrials always have a problem because their capital costs are so high. It's very difficult when you have big union contracts out there, and unless all the old people die. And again, I don't mean to be this, but again, I say this because we have to understand that the legacy cost of these programs is not just, GM is now moving out of the big union places. They still have legacy costs that are just huge. So even if they are making cars down in the South, Alabama, et cetera, then they still carry those costs with them. And that is a huge problem for General Motors. I don't think it's a good business at all. I don't think Tesla is a good business. It's very, very capital intensive. And so, again, I totally agree with you. Certain industries are having huge problems, and they just never go away.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the headlines here locally. And you've got a group of Treasure Valley mayors saying housing not keeping pace with the population, job growth. You and I have been talking about this for years, not much you can do. And then you have people that are upset that you're having a lot of these low-income housing apartments being built. But if there's no affordable housing, what can you do?
Right. No, I agree with you. And I think it's great we're seeing more and more housing. Again, like you and I have talked before, it's you can call it tract housing, I guess. I don't know what name you say for it other than it's lower income. It's further out. It's not as high quality.
But we're talking about apartments, though.
Well, it's the same thing. Both are being built like crazy, and I don't know where they think. If you don't want people living in a tent, that's where they have to go. So you can complain all you want, but we have got to have housing for people. Or we just tell people, no, you can't live here. That's it. Just leave. And there actually are communities like Sun Valley does that. And so if you can't afford a very expensive home there, then you have to commute from another place. But we are a big valley and lots of room to grow here. And I think people are going to be growing, whether it's from here to Mountain Home. In fact, that's an interesting question I'd like to ask somebody. Why don't they ever build out that way? Is it because it's a wind tunnel? It's just dirty brown.
Dirty brown.
Well,
take a look at the
mountains. That's one of the more boring.
Here, it's a bunch of dirt. I mean, it's brown everywhere here.
Yeah, but it's got that golden hue. It's beautiful. And there's some trees on top of those mountains, too. But I just don't know why. We always build to the east in Boise, east and south. We don't build to the west. I'm sorry, opposite direction. We build west and south, not east.
Well, maybe that's an opportunity. If I were looking for a home, I would build out that way just because there's no traffic.
There is no. You're right. Right. Yeah.
All things considered.
I know there's more people than ever coming from Mountain Home to work in Boise. Right.
Right. And I guess they are seeing a spike in home prices. So we have that going on. Apparently, it looks like we might have a deal with China. That's why your beloved markets are coming back. much to the chagrin of some of us that cheer against them.
Yes, well, they also are coming back because the fundamentals are strong, right? We have a very good economy here, Kevin, and yeah, there's some geopolitical things. The government is shut down. Politics seems nasty as ever, and that's why we all, with all of this noise, you always have to stop and say, okay, what is really going on fundamentally here? Because noise has a way of going away. It'll recreate itself into other noise down the road where we're worried about something else. But that's why you have to look at the fundamentals. What is underlying this? The best economy we've had in decades. The employment rate, particularly for the lower paid folks, minorities, as well as the wages coming up, right, is just at record levels.
You know, we talk about our quality of life, and thanks to Tea Party Bob and others, I've been outed for going to Hawaii, right? Anniversary present for myself and Mrs. Miller. But I noticed those folks there, I mean, the cost of housing is so high. And then you have, like, the fairyland Hawaii, which is what most of us see, where your self-esteem goes up 1,000 points because the service is so excellent.
Yeah,
you don't want for anything. Everything is just so great.
Right there.
And then you have the real Hawaii where, you know, you could get a little apartment. It's like, you know, $2,500 a month or of that nature. And you have people literally working 2 jobs, 3 jobs, 7 days a week. That's just how they roll there. Do you think that we're in danger because of the housing crisis, because of our own issues here, where we have more people doing that? And again, in America, you know, if you want to get ahead, you work harder. But really, in Hawaii, it just seemed like they were indentured servants. They were just working.
They are, because they are, and I think that the folks there, it's a bit...
It's a trade-off. Live in paradise.
Live in paradise in a tent, and I'm not joking. There's an awful lot of homeless there, aren't there?
Kevin? Sure.
It's a huge problem for them because they don't pay very well there, people, and it's very expensive to live there. And they do it intentionally because, as one native said... you know, if we had good wages here, how could we possibly, where would we put all the people?
Right.
So they don't pay well, and housing is restricted, and so they just don't have an ongoing demand. So people do get there somehow, maybe lose a job, maybe they just got there somehow and managed to put up a tent. There's a lot of homeless there.
A lot of people move there to start over, though. I see a lot of people our age or older that are, you know, working jobs. Okay, let's talk a little bit about something semi-fun.
Okay.
And
let's make it really fun.
I'd like to know what our old friend Dr. Ahlquist is up to.
Okay.
Okay. First, looks like he's getting into the hospital business. And full disclosure, I do a podcast with Tommy Ahlquist. We have a good time. I'm a big fan of his. You were still working on. However,
I like Tommy Ahlquist. I like anybody that throws their hat in the ring.
Well, he's got his new company, Ball Ventures Ahlquist. Are you getting a little cup of coffee here? I can keep your attention.
No, you're great.
You're a little defensive
totally
here this
focused
morning.
Here. Yes, you are.
Dave Petzo's getting coffee. My conversation must not be stimulating enough.
I'm riveted.
Hopefully it is for you at 107.5 FM, 580 AM, KIDO Talk Radio. So his group buys that hospital, Salzer, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And they're looking at, even before the president announced this, transparency when it comes to the hospital game. Like, you're going to know your bill and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So he's getting into that game, doing a lot of development, starting this new company, working a lot. You know, what do you think's going on? What do you hear in your circles? Because you guys travel the same circles.
I don't hear anything about any political ambitions or anything.
But as a businessman, okay, so he's doing this. Then, you know, it's really weird because people are making a big deal out of the old corn maze site. You know, yonder out by Meridian, by Eagle Road.
Yeah.
So and maybe I need to work on my news judgment because I was talking to these guys and they said, yeah, we bought this facility. Well, they sent out a release. It's going to be a golf facility where you can go drink, listen to music. Idaho Central Credit Union, I believe, is going to have their headquarters there. It's going to be a big entertainment thing. Maybe, I don't want to say like the Village, but I guess comparable to that. And people are really raving about that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got that. There's a development that they're planning off Chinden. So what are you seeing here based on my description to you?
Well, I see a city that is thriving so much that it's creating these different cores, if you will, where it isn't just Boise. It's the village in Meridian where the people live out in Eagle Meridian. And it's going to be out there again in Meridian. Another core, another big, huge group of people that are going to say, sure, let's go to dinner. Let's go out for some entertainment. Let's do something. And they don't have to go very far.
But back to what Tommy's up to. That's what I want to know.
Oh, yes. I don't know what he's up to. I just think he's a businessman, and they see an opportunity there.
They're doing the golf thing. They're doing the hospital thing, this Chinden thing. Yeah. I mean,
that's what you call business. And they're seeing opportunity in all
three. People. What's going on there?
It's a business opportunity they see. And I don't know enough about medicine at all to be thinking I would even be an adventurer.
Well, you tried to heal your own broken leg.
That's right. It's one of those things that I think that there's opportunity in all of them. And when business enters, for example, into something that's so antiquated, so ridiculous, so bureaucratic as medicine is, I think it's nothing but opportunity. You think about how bureaucratic these hospitals are. I would think that they were just made to pick the bones off of them, because this is a real opportunity for business people to come in and take advantage of huge holes. And I think it's great, because when you get more competition to the hospitals, as you said, it's like primary health and things like that. I'm a huge fan of those organizations,
right,
and pray that they don't get taken over by one of the hospitals, because we need that. We need that competition instead of having monopolies.
Well, primary health has blown up. They're expanding.
Yep.
But you take a look at, so we have churches, dentists, and gyms here in the Treasure Valley. So we've got these two big, huge, giant hospitals, St. Luke's, St. Al's. And then we have a couple that people may or may not know about, Treasure Valley Hospital here in the city. Then we have in Caldwell, we have West Valley Medical Center. They're very proud of that. In fact, I need to get there and yap to those folks and other people. And then, we have the idea of another hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Do we really have, St. Luke's and St. Al's continues to expand. Finally, they've moved out to Nampa, But you take a look at this. Do we really need another hospital?
As we're growing, I guess the answer is yes, because if you're filling the beds.
Well, you don't believe in hospitals.
I don't want to have.
You broke your foot and you fixed it yourself, put a splint on it.
Well,
we
went on the next day.
Right. Yeah.
But the answer is, I think that we have an awful lot of hospitals here. I think I do believe that, as I understand, we need more rehab centers and things like that. But it is a circumstance where we are we seem to have enough hospitals. But Kevin, I'm not an expert. If those beds are full and there's room for another one, then we need another one.
Right, and it would be nice not to wait 4 months for a colonoscopy around here.
Is that how long it takes?
I love the medical profession.
Yeah.
Because they scare the heck out of you.
Yeah.
And then you go in,
mm-hmm.
with the exception of my friend Jeremy, who's listening right now, who is responsible for keeping me safe and healthy, my doctor Jeremy. So what I'm saying is that you go in and they go, oh, you're going to do this, you're going to die. And then all of a sudden you go to the bureaucrat. The bureaucrat says, okay, what's your copay? Your insurance doesn't cover it, and you're going to be with us in 5 months. And you're going, wait a minute. This is not the gulag here.
Yeah.
I mean, does really anybody enjoy going to the medicine places, the hospitals and such? Is it really a joyful experience?
No. And that's why we need more competition there.
That's what Tommy's going to bring. He's going to bring the happiness
to
the hospitals.
I hope so. It doesn't have to just be happy. It just has to be customer service. That's what we're talking about. When bureaucrats do the work. I mean, think of that. It's not just a movie you see. Why in the world is there a black market in Soviet Russia? Because you couldn't get anybody there without to fix your furnace in the middle of winter in Moscow. It's the same thing everywhere else. There's going to be private doctors. There's going to be access for people that have money. There always is going to be some kind of market out there, because if it takes 5 months and you don't want to wait 5 months, somebody just needs their palm greased and you can get in earlier. That's the way the markets work. And if we have enough competition, enough people out there, then the service goes up automatically. It's like you and I have talked many times. The service in America is so much better than anywhere else in the world. Maybe Scotland's pretty good too.
Hawaii's pretty good.
That would be part of America.
Some people don't view it that way, but I'll go with that.
Okay.
I view it as part of America.
Yeah, well, last I checked, it was one of the states.
Oahu or Aloha or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let me, one more question for you. You're a golfer.
Yes.
Okay, I could put on my gravestone that I've never played a round of golf in my life.
I'm sorry about that.
I choose to be a victim of not playing golf. So you ever heard of this Top Golf?
I have, yes. Okay. Yes.
Listen to him. Listen to him, folks. That's Dave Pezzo. He's like excited like a little kid. So apparently, allegedly, this facility is going to be very similar to this Top Golf thing.
Yep. That's what I wondered, if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, what do you make? But getting back to the entertainment option, so Tommy Ahlquist, BVA, they do this. Then another facility that I find fascinating, you have this indoor tennis facility in Eagle, right by State Street when you go by.
And yeah.
Going, wow, that's got to cost a lot of money. So we're having all this entertainment stuff. Are there enough golfers here to really make that happen?
Yeah, that's a good question, Kevin, but the answer is absolutely, in my opinion. Again, we are clearly looking for more and more experiences. It's the way life has been restructured, if you will, where people have moved away from the TV, except when they can dial in exactly what they want to watch on Netflix, right? They don't just watch network TV at all anymore, and especially the younger people are going out and having these experiences, no matter what it costs. I mean, who would have thought that a big bowling alley
young
would
become
popular?
Young people aren't playing golf, though.
Yeah, there are a few, but they're not really there for just golf. Golf is dying. It is, because it's too expensive, but not when you go to a place like that.
Right.
It's a bar. It's chicks. It's the whole fun of going and meeting
Did
people.
Did you say it's chicks?
Yeah. Well, that's what young people are out there. Young guys. I mean, come on. That's what young guys are looking for. Well, are women?
Some young guys are looking for the boys too.
Well, okay.
More coming up next. Kevin Miller, Dave Pezzo, KIDO Talk Radio. All right, there we have it, the Dave Pezzo theme song, Money, Money, Money. Kevin Miller in the morning, KIDO Talk Radio. So you live in the city of Boise, right?
I do.
You love the city of Boise. So,
other than their property taxes, I don't love that.
Now you have the Idaho Freedom Foundation is suing the city of Boise. The mayor was mad. He put out a mean tweet about them for using urban renewal districts to bypass the Idaho Constitution, which requires that cities must pass a referendum with 2/3 vote to take on the big debt. Now you have the mayor. He's upset. He's mad. Your thoughts on the city being sued, and does that have any negative economic impact?
No, it does not. It's good. It's a good thing. I don't particularly know what the lawsuit is about, so I don't want to comment on it from that perspective. But I think it's wonderful to have organizations out there saying that's enough. You don't do this just because you want to. The idea that the mayor can choose to put us in debt for a stadium that people, I haven't heard overwhelming support. I haven't even heard 50% are supporting it. And yet we're all going to go into debt and have to pay for it with higher property taxes. I think it's great that people are out there. Is that going to hurt development? Of course it doesn't. When you lose your freedom and then all you have is corporate welfare and you get to choose. I mean, for example, I'm in the downtown corridor and so I my building is. And so I get to pay unbelievably high property taxes, Kevin, well over 2%. And a chunk of that money goes into the downtown development, of which is handed out because somebody wants a new facade on a building or what have you. In other words, it's corporate welfare. It's like, I want $1 million of that, and I want $1 million of that. How am I going to get $1 million of that to put a new facade on my building? And the answer is, you got to know people. You grease palms. You're corporate welfare. I don't know the right people, so I just pay the taxes. And that's what happens in something when government just decides who wins and decides how to tax. And where we don't have say, that doesn't hurt development. To have people say, time out here. You can't just do this and shove it down our throat. They are correct in being able to do this, and it doesn't hurt development to have the mayor get angry because somebody's saying, you got to be held accountable, and you got to ask people why they want something. You got to sell us on the idea that we should be paying for a stadium, that we should have trolleys that go nowhere, that we need high-speed rails and things like that. If that's what you want to do, then sell people on it.
Here we go, Kevin Miller, Dave Pezzo. Let's talk a little bit about Sears. It looks like they're safe for now. Your thoughts on the end or the beginning of Sears? If you were running Sears, how could you save it? How would you save it?
I don't think you can. It's a traditional retailer. It has no online presence. It's in all over the country in dying mall locations. So it is. I just think it's it's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
And some of the stores they own, so there's real estate value there, and that's all they're buying. They're certainly not buying a retail enterprise anymore. They're buying the real estate that it sits in. And so I just don't think they can compete against a Macy's, which seems to be a well-run company, and others that are still in the traditional retail space. Macy's is developing some online presence, as anybody who is doing okay or good is doing. And Sears has not, and they've never reinvested in their online. It's always been a game about real estate. Eddie Lampert, the CEO and owner of the company, has driven this business down to zero. And he still has investors. It's amazing to me.
You know, I think this is how I would save Sears, and you see Walmart doing this, is, okay, what do we love about Amazon? We can buy something, and it's there in 2 days.
Yep.
But, you know, Walmart, I think, is kind of doing this, where you can go to walmart.com, you can either pick it up in the store, or better yet, you can get it within 24 hours.
Yep.
Because I'm sure Sears, I mean, you have these huge retail spaces, right? And maybe you give a discount that if you buy online to incentivize people to come in, you're going to get 20% off when you buy something in the store.
Right, right.
You have all this brick and mortar. Look at Amazon, what they're trying to do. They were looking at putting a bookstore in at the Village.
Yep.
They were looking at these fulfillment centers. They were looking at everything else. So here you have, you know, at one time people were saying, you know, these are brick and mortars, but using the online to drive that.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you see that at Walmart, though? I mean, can
they
you
do.
Define what Walmart's doing?
Yeah, Walmart is doing a great job of getting online. They're giving them a real run for their money online. And you're right. They also have the option you can take it back to a store, right? You don't like what you have, you take it back to a store. Isn't that one of the things you love about Costco? You go to any Costco store and you can take back what you don't like. You know, you get a rug, it's the wrong color. Okay, let's take it back and you go get another one. It's that ability to get exactly what you want and the convenience of that. It's not convenient with Amazon because they don't have a place to take it. You can send it back, but then you got to wrap it back up. You got to send it back.
Right. It's all about convenience. So using the Amazon vibe against them, if you will.
Exactly. Exactly. So I agree, Kevin. I'm not saying that that's the case, but that's my point really with Sears. They've never developed that online presence, and they compete against Macy's and others. They all. But your point with Walmart is also very good because they are now really competing head-to-head with Amazon in that everything else space, and Amazon really doesn't have groceries yet, although I know Whole Foods is under their wing now. So,
now, finally, your thoughts on what we should be looking out for this week.
Kevin, the market seems to have quieted down a little bit. Maybe we've had a little bit of an overreach here, bouncing 12% in 3 or 4 weeks. And I just think it's really we're going to see it from earnings, whether earnings are strong and outlook is okay. So far, so good, Kevin. The earnings really are there. And again, if the outlooks on top of the current earnings are okay, not too negative going forward, I think you could see the market settling and starting to calm down and just continue moving higher.
Dave Pezzo joining us here. One more final thought. Dave Pezzo, overtime. The government shutdown doesn't end. Your thoughts on, I mean, do you miss the government?
I don't, Kevin, but I understand that there's real problems out there and there's real people that are not getting paychecks and all those things. But the reality is this will end this very second that Democrats decide that they have overplayed their hand, and not until then. So they'll show up at Trump's office. He's already said time and time again he's willing to deal, and it's on them. And it just feels like maybe they've overreached. But you have a better sense of that than I.
I don't know about that, Dave Pezzo. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Dave Pezzo, Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, Money Matters, this Saturday, 8 to 10. Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I would love to hear from you, of course, as we always do, at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, that is our number here. And of course, if you prefer email, that's fine. It's dave@pezzofinancial.net. You know, I there's so many different things I kind of wanted to talk about, because, you know, when you take a week off like I did, you know, I took last Saturday off, it just, you have a couple things that kind of just kind of surge back at you. You know, you think of some of the fundamental things, because the week was basically flat. It wasn't anything that jumps out. And, you know, we don't talk about what day-to-day news here. That's just nonsensical stuff. In fact, as I always say, and I will again in 30 minutes as we open up the second hour, it's nonsense. It leads us further from the truth, not closer, not at all closer. You know, we look at things, and I see the articles, you know, come out. I've talked about this one a little bit, but it really is to the basic part of what I want to talk about today. And that's when we see headlines like, why your 401k just lost $8,700. Oh, well, I better go ahead and read that. But, you know, you read that and you're going, okay, because the market went down. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, Dave, it went down. And in fact, and this was came out in USA Today, another, you know, absolutely schlock paper, horrifying. I don't, there's not even a tidbit of good financial information in this, okay? So obviously I was traveling and saw this, and I went, oh, this is, I mean, the headline just grabbed me. This is what people grab onto. And they don't think of anything of value except what the bottom line says. In other words, this is what my net worth is. Push the button, push the button, push the button. Because we can all do that. We can do it in real time in some cases, right? I want to see how much money I'm making at 9 a.m. What about at noon? And you can push the button over and over. Unless you're a day trader, this is a completely worthless waste of time. A stunningly worthless. You'd be better off watching, you know, reruns of Jeopardy or something. Maybe you'd learn the stuff because with a rerun, you get to hear it over and over again. And maybe we would, some of that brainiac stuff would sink in for us, right? So we get caught up in the one thing we can measure easily that the headlines grab us to do, and our natural human nature does. You see, you didn't lose $8,700 in your 401k unless you sold. Now, and I'm really serious about this, and I understand the whole point of, you know, well, did I make $8,700? No, you did not. It's not over until you're retired, and when things go down and you're putting money in your 401k, do you really want to spend more for the stocks so you get to own less with your money? Or do you occasionally want to have it go down so that the $8,700 you lost when you put in your next $1,000 buys more of the greatest corporations in the world? I mean, if you were going to build a dam over the next 10 years, do you really want the price of gravel to go up so you can brag about how much money you made on the pile of gravel you have so far, but you still have to accumulate gravel, so you have to pay way more for it? Would you go to a store and you're at Macy's and they have the 50% off sales after Christmas? It's just a wonderful thing. It's an amazing thing. You want to go in and you go, oh, this is just fantastic. Now, as soon as you mark that back up, I'll come back and pick up these wonderful things. Nobody thinks like that. But when the market, we just lost $8,700. What do we do, honey? And it makes us start thinking we should be doing things, that the market isn't safe. And then you have, you know, whatever, fast money or what is it, safe money, all that crap that they have out there. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to get all wound up about it, but I do get wound up about the injustice and the lying that happens in our industry, all based on fear. All based on fear. Nobody would tie their money up for 10 years, 15 years or longer. You should have seen the contract I saw the other day of these equity indexed annuities. They're horrible. And they promise not to work. I saw one the other day. Well, we get market returns. And that's all their literature. That's what they say. Do you know you're capped out? If the market went up 20%, you'd get four. Four. But you don't lose. And you can't win. That's the point. When we focus on day-to-day fluctuations, it leads us further from the truth. We want to accumulate more. We don't... more stocks, more investment in the greatest corporations of the world before we retire. Even in retirement, parts of your portfolio really are reinvesting, aren't they? I'll explain. Hopefully, we'll have time later today to explain that Meet Dave a little bit that we have on our website. By the way, I'm just going to quickly say, go to our website, right, and find the Meet Dave. It's literally a two-minute video about a mutual fund. It's really not about a mutual fund. It's about the market. It's about a journey, a 50-year journey for an individual and how it worked for him. Of course, it's a hypothetical guy, happens to have a great name. But my point is you see these things, and we come to understand on a long-term basis, we see that. Where we get snagged is in the short term, I just lost $8,700. Now, where's the $8,733 come from? That was the average loss in the average 401k. Okay? Wow. That's such an important data point. Don't you think that warrants headlines? They have to make this stuff up every day. I don't really think it's an easy job. There's not much to talk about every day. So they have to make stuff up every day. So I like to think about this, and I get kind of wound up, if you will. Excuse me. When we get through these little periods, we get through these periods that are just terrible. I cannot get my throat cleared this morning. Sorry, folks. And we get through these periods, and I don't know if we're through it, or we're going to go back and retest the lows or whatever kind of technical blah, blah, blah people want to talk about, because that's what they do. They are, oh, we're going to retest the lows. This is a resistance level, and this is it's unbelievable. They just throw numbers out. Nobody ever stops to go, well, but Bob, you said last week that we were probably going to retest the lows. We never did. Well, I know, but we had a resistance thingy, my bobber, here. They just talk about this jabber all the time, as if the market can be predicted. And so people think, well, if I don't want to lose my $8,700, why don't I jump out? And it's a really interesting point. Why don't you? Because you'll get your head handed to you. You can't do that. And it is so simple, straight up, you cannot do that. Period. Well, I wouldn't stay out forever. It'd be like, you know, when they open up the government again, when the deal with China is inked, when Donald Trump is dead and buried, when the super libs take over or the super libs die. I don't know. Because after that happens, there'll be another thing to worry about. It's constant if you're looking for worries. If you're looking for what works, I mean really looking for what works, to build wealth in the easiest way possible with the minimum amount of attention and time. In other words, you can't go run these corporations. They don't want your help. There's nothing ever invented, never, ever thought of. And yet, and so silly and simplistic, I can't believe we get to do this. It's like it doesn't make any sense. I just have to put a couple of bucks away in something I have absolutely no management of. I don't have to do a thing. And I get rich. Generation after generation after generation. Uh-huh. No, seriously, if my grandpa, my great-grandpa coming through the Depression had any money at all and put a little bit away in the market, he'd be rich? Yes. My dad? Yeah. My uncle? Yes. All of them, all people, all human beings, through all periods of time. Well, why did I just lose $8,733? We have corrections. And so when we come back and we look at this from the standpoint, I got to take a break. I'm way over. But I want to talk about just like in general, how often does the market go up? How often are corrections there? Because if we just have this general sense, just general, that things will work out. They don't have to be perfect, but businesses will figure out a pathway forward, even if Barack Obama is president, even if Donald Trump is president, even if Hillary Part 2 is president, corporations figure out a way. The market's not a thing. It's ownership in the greatest businesses in the world. It's dynamic.
It's amazing. And you and I can be in it for $50 a month. 50. You can sell any day. You could get in any day. You can add to your investments and you get rich. This is how simple it is. We make it complex because there's a whole industry out there that makes money by complex and by scaring you. It's called equity index annuities. I just scare people. And they'll go, oh, guarantee. I just heard the word. That's what I'm after. Safety, guarantee, boom, 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 boom. And they tie it up and they can't win. And we lose sight of the fact if we only focus on the bottom line. This always works. Always. Always. I got to take a quick break. You want to get a hold of us? It's 580-KIDO. Dave@petzlfinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And if you have a email question, that'd be great. We can get that addressed in the next hour for sure. Dave@petzlfinancial.net. All right, I wanted to just, again, kind of getting some of the basics here. Like I said, you take a week off, and thanks, Jennifer and Tom, for filling in, and JC and Brandon as well. That was great. It was really fun because I listened online and was able to just sit back and have a cup of coffee and enjoy listening to them. And it's just getting that fresh perspective for you. I know it's good stuff. I've worked with Jennifer for 25 years now, and Tom for 14, I think. It's so crazy amounts of time. It is, you think about things like that, and I don't want to get too far out in the weeds here, but there are some blessings in life that come from getting older, right? And they are the blessings of relationships that last and last. And having a small business and being able to work with people and be with people in a big chunk of your life, which is your working life, right, and sharing life. The ups and downs for 25 years is a stunning thing. And obviously, she is a stunningly wonderful woman. So I do appreciate that she runs our office and takes care of all of us as well. At any rate, it gives you a chance to kind of take a step back and really recognize how this market works, freaks people out, works, freaks people out, and works again. And this is a constant thing. But why in the world is this so hard for people? And I'm not sure why it should be that hard. I think I understand why it is, because headlines scream how much money you lost over this period of time. We all can't wait to go use our fancy technology and push the button and figure out how much we lost. And we already know we lost. This doesn't help us with our attitude, but we need to have a bad attitude, so we push the button on down days. Acting like that has something to do with how much money you're going to have 20 years from now, how much income you have 10 years from now. It has nothing to do with that. And so it is this sense that there's just so much information coming at us, like a fire hose, that we don't take a time to just stop and go, wait a minute, this works, period. This works, and that's the message we have to deliver to people. It works, period. Not it works, but... it works if you have, no, it works for all people. It works especially well for people that don't have much money. Why? Because that's how they get much money. Put a little away, stay out of debt, you're rich. It's really not hard. But we make it hard. And so I hopefully, once in a while, we just kind of grab. And I do this too. I do it all the time. People would be surprised how many times I read the same piece of information. I go through the same charts in the same, and I don't mean daily charts, like little stock fluctuation charts with little squiggly lines and resistance levels and stuff. Nonsense. I'm talking about mountain charts, looking at them and looking at the data points. Like, remember when the Soviet Union shot down a Korean airliner and killed all those hundreds of people on board? That was the world we grew up in. Duck and cover, putting our heads under our desks. Yeah, Soviet Union went away. Psh. Well, but what about Barack Obama? I know. There's always a problem. But if we always just see the world as it's falling apart and the reporting is always bad, we don't have that historic perspective. You got to go back. You got to realize the 1970s interest rates were terrible. Inflation was horrible. We had Jimmy Carter. It was a terrible time. And right before that, we had Richard Nixon. He was terrible. He was a terrible economic president. It was terrible. Absolutely horrible. When I started in the industry, interest rates hit 21.5. Are you kidding me? How do you even eat? How do you survive? I can't believe we did. But we did. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average was at 800 on its way down to 750 before it went to 25,000. And in the meantime, we've had two more 50% corrections during that time. Two. Multiple 20% plus corrections. We've had flash crashes. We've had an absolute 25% drop in a day. Stock market crash. I was sitting at my desk. I still remember that. I remember that like I remember when the Chalice earthquake happened, right? We remember stuff like that. No, we don't. It's just a historic footnote, but you can't believe what we got going on today. Politics have never been this nasty. Really? They used to shoot each other for crying out loud. They really did. We had a governor here assassinated, right, with a bomb on his gate, right? 100 years ago or something, right? Unbelievable. It's not new. It's different. This is different. Different iterations of the same. We got to worry about stuff. We got to find guarantees. We got to make up products. We don't. Are you ready for this? Over 70% of the time, the market's up. Over 70% on a one-year basis. Over 70%. It's average 10%. Nothing else is even close. So most of the time, it's up. It averages better than anything else. You can do it for $50 a month. And here's what throws us so much, I think. Okay? Do you know that 53 times, 53 of the 68 times that the market's gone up since 1926, right? Over 70% time. So most all of the time, it's more than 10%. It goes up a lot. And then we get in later because it all looks good. And we get all scared when we have a normal, certain to occur over and over again, all the days of our life, market correction. All right, we got to take a break here for Fox News. We'll be back in the second hour and hopefully take your questions. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two upcoming. And of course, as we say every week for 35-ish years, these are my opinions and my opinions only. And we're not here to pick stocks. We're not here to tell you what to buy or sell. In fact, we believe that that is ridiculous, ludicrous, and leads you further from the truth. It's noise. And in a noisy, noisy world, we don't need more of that. Seeking more noise overwhelms us. Yeah, there's a certain, it was a Colin Powell that talked about in a book he wrote years ago, gosh, it's probably 20 years ago now, but talked about getting as a general on a battlefield or whatever to make decisions, as a leader making decisions, you want lots of information. You want, in theory, all you can get. But you have to make a decision because you can't know it all. And waiting to get it all or know it all, it's too late to make a move. We have so much analysis by paralysis because there's so many differing opinions. Market's good, the market's bad, it's expensive, it's cheap, it's, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. You should have 40% of your portfolio in bonds. This guy over here thinks the world's coming to an end, so he thinks you ought to have 90% in bonds or cash or whatever, right? I'm not even talking about the regular fear mongers out there, okay? The people that just like the, you know, running commercials so you can sell equity indexed annuities to people. I get that. Those are just the general fear. That's what gets people to buy crummy products. Because you would never do this if you weren't just like on the edge of fear. And so if we see or don't see the market as this horrible, fearful thing of because the prices change, that we start to begin to see it differently. We start to see it as an income machine, perhaps. Now, that's the healthiest place to be, right? When you just don't even care about prices, you only care about what it generates in income. Oh, it's a process. It's a process to get there. But it's not impossible. It's something you need reminders of. I do. Well, my price just went down. $1 million just became, even in a bear market, $800,000. That's a problem if you sold. But if you're living off the income, did the corporations stop paying dividends? No. No. In fact, companies like Procter & Gamble, it's not trying to tell you, it's just being very specific, data point. Procter & Gamble has raised dividends for 70 years in a row. 70. No, they didn't miss one. They didn't even stay the same one year. Now, I know if that doesn't just make you go, wait a minute, I'm not thinking of stocks correctly. Johnson & Johnson for like 50 years in a row? Yeah. Procter & Gamble 70 years in a row? Yeah. Multiple companies. And I'm not telling you to go buy them. I'm just saying multiple companies have consistently raised their dividends year after year by three times the rate of inflation on average in the S&P 500. Let me say that another way. The average increase for the last 50 years in the S&P 500 dividends is 9%, over 9. Now, that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's WorldCom and Enron that went, bye-bye. That's Google, Amazon, Priceline, that don't pay a dividend at all. All in there, non-dividend payers, some dividend cutters, overall, 9% a year increase. Stunning. What's done that? What did I tell you about the prices? Nothing. I told you everything about value. What we had last year as an example, to think about this, I heard this, it was a great way of phrasing it, right? What we had last year was unusual because the economy was growing, corporate profits were expanding. So what we really had last year was a huge rally in values. We had earnings increasing rapidly while we had the market go down 10%. So in other words, price to earnings ratios, dividend yields, however you want to phrase it for valuations, with earnings rising 20%, valuations going down 10, we have a 30% move. We had a heck of a rally in value. It wasn't, we didn't have a market correction because earnings were down, that we had a recession or anything like that. It's different. Huge rally. But it depends how you see it. If you want to see it fearfully or you want to see it optimistically. And there's lots of fear mongers to help you see it negatively. You know, it's just, it's human nature that we see things negatively. I get that. But when something works so well, you know, you look at it and you say, well, on 1 year periods, the market's up 70%+ of the time, even more in the last 30 years. But let's just call it 70%. It's a little over, but 70. I always like to err on the more conservative side. 3 year periods, 90% of the time, the market's up. 90. Now, again, we're talking about the single best investment, bar none, the highest return, not even close. Nothing's even close. You don't have to be an expert at anything. You don't have to run the company. You don't manage it. You don't kick people out. You don't go collect rent. You don't do anything except put money away. $50 a month. Real hard to do. $50 a month. Into this. 90% of the 3 year periods are up. So I can't lose, didn't lose. And it earns more than anything else on the planet. It's the only thing I know that the longer you wait, for example, 100% 10-year periods. That's astounding. So it depends on our perspective. Are we worried about, if, for example, if I want to create wealth over my lifetime and I want to live on the income of that growing pile, growing stream of income, mind you, right? This is what I'm interested in. I'm not worried about the prices. I'm going to turn 65 and I want to just clip the dividends, clip the coupons, so to speak, right? I just want that coming in no matter what. Economy's falling apart. We have nearly communists being elected to the Senate, all that stuff, right? It's all fearful. It's all terrible all the time. The media is all super biased. It's a terrible situation, and it is. Don't get me wrong. But it shouldn't pull us from investing. Okay? Different things. Different things. So we have a circumstance where are we seeing and we are focusing on what we should be focused on? No. Never. Because it doesn't sell a drop of ink. Not a drop of ink. You can't run business channels on TV and sell advertising if people aren't paying attention. They're not fearful. They're not engaged. Every little squiggle, every little thing. Well, here's what traders are saying on the, oh, thanks, Bob. That's wonderful. Yeah, here's what's going on down. Now, shut up. Just shut up. It's not important. Buy, buy, buy. Sell, sell, sell. Buy, buy, buy. Sell, sell, sell. Not at all. Not at all. Put a little bit of money away. Watch it grow. And when we're thinking of income, isn't that what we want? Is our income to grow faster than the rate of inflation every year? Wouldn't that be glorious? Like the most amazing thing you've ever seen? So you have no management responsibilities. So what are we doing wrong? Why do we get fussed up about this? This incredible mechanism. This incredible wealth building, you don't have to do a thing mechanism. We just see it wrong. And the world makes it hard to see it right. Because there is a vested interest in seeing it wrong. A vested interest in seeing it wrong. You wouldn't have equity-indexed annuities that just absolutely rake people over the coals. Why? Why would people get raked over the coals? Because they are so fearful, they don't have the right perspective of price movements. So they get terrified, and they want a guarantee. And so when somebody says guarantee, and it is an insurance product, therefore you can lie and do whatever you want, although I have to walk that back just a little bit because some of the laws are changing, and I will get to that later. They can say whatever they want. They don't have to disclose that it doesn't work. And so people move to those products, and then they're trapped. And even if they get education, they feel better. They're not in an emotional state of their life, for example, right? Because we all go through that. We get really scared. We get worried. We get into a bad financial situation, divorce, death, all those things that cause people to have really big fear enter their life. We all have that because we're all human and life is really not perfect. And if we get caught in that, and then we go and do this because we just want to feel safe, then we, even when we get better, right, we get emotionally better, we're trapped. And that's why if you're really scared, you're really in a bad emotional place, don't do that. Just put it into short-term bonds or something until you can get better and deal with things correctly. You don't put in something that ties it up for 15 years, for gosh sakes. Don't do that. Don't seek those answers. Don't go to those dinner seminars. But we get in that, and we get in a situation, we just don't see things correctly. We see them as price movement rather than income generators. And the greatest income generator that I know of are the greatest corporations in the world, represented by the U.S. stock market. But we never talk about that. And we think about this battery of people that tell you got to buy, 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 and sell, sell, sell. The newspapers and all the people that have a vested interest in scaring the socks off of you to get you to buy an equity indexed annuity or another guaranteed product of some kind. There's huge vested interests to not saying this is what you should do, according to John Templeton, Michael Price, Peter Lynch, Warren Buffett. You buy and you hold for enormous periods of time. Okay, that's good. What else, sir? There is nothing else. Behave well. Well, that we've got to write a book about this. Well, okay, stay out of debt. Okay, what else? I mean, like trading, what education should I get? What do I need to know? What kind of data things could I become a CFA, certified financial analyst? I mean, what stuff? I told you all the stuff. Put a little away. Stay out of debt. Don't sell out. No matter what. And you get rich. That, you see, that just won't fill the airwaves, will it? But it really is that simple. And we always test that, don't we, personally? Like, I can open this door. I can dance with the devil a little bit, play around over here, do this, do that. Don't. The most important thing, you can create a little trading account if you want. That's fine. Do a little speculation over here. I'm okay with that. It doesn't matter. Just call it gambling money, whatever. But don't do that with your portfolio, and don't think you're smart because you're lucky. Make a couple of big hits. Don't make you smart. Doesn't make you smart at all. Don't be like the young man that wins at the casino the first time. Thinks he's just really smart. Does anybody outside of that kid think that was a good thing, winning the first time they went to the casino? It's not. We got to be careful. And when we open those doors, and here's the key, you can never, ever, ever sell out. Because a lot of times, you can never, ever, ever come back. You cross the line. You're done. You're done. See, you got to be right twice, and everybody knows you can't even be right once. So, because you got to get back in. Don't do it, because it opens a door. Even if you're like partially right, now you think you're really smart, trader dude, you're not. And so it's just something when you set down and set in place and you set your own. I have my own 10 investment commandments, right? You set your own. If you want to listen, those are on the website. But I'm not telling you that they're yours. They just happen to be mine. To remind myself, this is a line I don't cross. Period. Period. And with a noisy, noisy world, it's harder than we give it credit for. And when we come out and we dance with the devil and we look up our accounts all the time and we listen to people hyperventilating about things and then we get a little emotional in our life, something goes wrong. Something bad happens. It's called life, but it does. Then we are susceptible to making a bad decision. We need to dial it back. We need to make decisions, firm ones. Have our own investment commandments. This is the line I don't cross. Well, what should I be doing something because my account went down this quarter? No. You don't even have to ask that question because it's not a question you ask anymore because you've drawn a line in the sand. I don't sell out. That's good. I'm just, you know, I keep adding to my investments. They keep growing. It's phenomenal. It's unbelievable. And now I got a little bargain. I got a break. I get to buy more. We had a rally in values last year, a huge rally. The economy didn't fall. Corporate profits soared, but prices went down. Are you a buyer? You are of everything on the planet. Every single thing you buy when there is a rally in value. Except stocks. It really is the easiest thing in the world. But it's hard, I know, to change and gear and rewire our thinking. All right. I have babbled all day. I need your phone calls. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you prefer emails, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. We'd love to hear from you and whatever you would like to visit about. Do. Let's talk. Right now, let's go to Basil. Basil, thanks for calling.
Hello. Good morning, Dave. It is basil. Basil is seasoning.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? You've corrected me twice now. I hope when you call again, I will get it right. Basil, thank you.
I am used to it. No insult. Okay, it's good. I love a good sales presentation. I mean, I think it as entertainment. Mm-hmm. And where I come from, it is very good to be critical. Critical thinking is a necessary survival skill. So, against your advice, I got this thing in mail. Mm-hmm. You know, come have dinner with us. And now, background, I have real estate investments. I have stock. I have debt instruments. I thought, you know, maybe a little bit of single premium annuity would be good.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is insurance guy, you know, and so they sell single premium annuities as well as index type things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had very nice dinner, marvelous sales presentation. The guy is a virtuoso when it comes to charts and, you know, the whole works.
Exactly.
So, mm-hmm. Met in his office, and I came with questions. All right, may I see copy of contract, please? So I know, you know, what we're getting into. I read contracts. I'm one of those guys who reads the entire contract and asks questions.
Mm-hmm.
No,
good for you.
Cannot see contract because I said, you know, I'm going to be coming into some money in the next few months, year, and I will be ready to buy something, but I'd like to see ahead of time, you know, what it is. No, you cannot see contract. Well, can you tell me, my wife is this age, I am that age, how about single premium annuity based on, you know, no residual? You know, because when you buy a single premium annuity with no residual, we are making a bet. I am betting the insurance company that I am going to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, they are saying, okay, you're going to die tomorrow. So if I die tomorrow, they win. If I live forever, I win. Can
yes.
you give me a figure of percentage? No, it's too early. No information. I'm not going back to that guy. I cannot get any information. I had to ask 3 times.
Huh.
I said, you had this nice chart. During periods of market downturn, the chart is flat, you know, with a horizontal line, you know, no income. Okay, fine. And then during periods of market rise, we see your chart going up against the S&P. What is the slope of that line, please?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is ninth grade math. What is slope? Finally, after a third time, you said, yeah, about, you know, maybe 4%. Okay, fine. Does that include S&P 500 dividends, which typically are about, what, 2%?
No, yes.
Does not include.
Does not, no.
Does not include dividends. Does not include dividends. So it was a great dinner, but that's all I got out of this encounter. So just to confirm what you have already said, when a person cannot give you information, I mean, I have read contracts before and said, wait a minute, this contract, there's no exit strategy here. I'm out. You know?
Exactly. Basil, I also want to throw in something you touched on there, too, because this is you asking questions, okay? And this is why I say don't go, because you hit it just perfectly by saying his presentation was fantastic. It was a virtuoso, I believe was the word you used. And so what I'm saying is if you didn't have pause, if you didn't say, I want to read the contract, I would never do this without, if you didn't ask all those questions, and most don't, how much danger do you think you were in of tying your money up for the next 12 to 15 years?
Well, when you buy annuity, you know ahead of time you are tying up your money forever. So this was not a problem. It would be a small part of overall portfolio, you know, diversification. So that was not a problem with me.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody else, maybe.
Right. But what I'm saying is you're also like, why wouldn't we put all our money in this? Because it's so good, right? It looks like it's just perfect. My point is that you dug in and dug in hard. So yeah, you could be safe at a seminar. Most people are not, because they are very, very good at what they do. Scaring people, presenting a perfect answer with guarantees to make people feel safe.
Yeah. If you have time, I have other questions.
Okay,
for
fire away.
My wife is already at Social Security, what do they call that, full retirement age. I am not there yet, but I would like to know, is there a local counselor with whom I could speak about Social Security? Now, I can talk to Social Security office, yes, but I want second opinion, because if some government bureaucrat makes a mistake, it is my problem, not theirs, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so looking for a second opinion on structuring, claiming, claim structuring between spousal benefits and that type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. We, along with many, many financial advisors, have software, if you will, Social Security calculators, and knowledge. We have people in our office that know more than I do about Social Security. And so when people have questions, we run them through the calculators and answer those questions. It is so complicated. So the answer is there's lots of people out there that do. But you're correct in continuing to ask that question, when do I turn it on? How is my health? And these things are always in motion, too. So should your wife take her Social Security at full retirement income? It's a cash flow question as well for some people. So typically, I will say this, typically you want to wait till you're 70. Typically.
That is my plan. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's typical, but to find that, you can run it through the calculators. I'll bet there's even some online stuff. But the online stuff, you got to be careful with, because believe it or not, we still have to go and ask, even though we've done this for decades, because the rules change and the subtleties can be mind-numbing. So don't just read about it. What I'm saying, though, is online you can probably run some calculators to give yourself an idea of what your numbers are. Or Social Security provides them most of the time. But typically, with an 8% guaranteed growth rate with life expectancies today, you should wait. That's just typical. That's not everybody.
Yeah, that is my plan. But there's always and the calculator. Okay, I've seen online calculators. Those are not the problem. The big question starts getting, two spouses are receiving or are eligible to receive benefits. There is strategy for what you call a spousal benefits and how to arrange this where maybe the high earning spouse waits till age 70.
Correct.
Meanwhile, but I need to know details because, well, how do they say? Do not ask a question where you don't already know the answer. So I need to know the answer before I go into a Social Security office.
Absolutely.
That's a problem.
A good move. A good move. Yes, absolutely. And you can. But the answer is we do that, and most financial planning organizations, I believe, at least those of any size, will have people within them that are really strong on the Social Security. Okay?
Oh, very good. So I can call your office maybe Monday. We can talk and see what you can offer. Okay?
You got it. All right. Basil, you have a good day.
Thanks
for the call.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. Dave@petsofinancial.net. Breaking now for Fox News. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. It's Dave@petsofinancial.net if you prefer email. Before we jump on an email here, I wanted to quickly again remind us as the theme today is hanging in there, right? It always is, right? Isn't that basically our theme? Quit worrying. Don't worry, be happy. But I love this. I love quoting this and talking about it. This goes back a few years now. But Fidelity, who has got, what, millions of accounts, right? And they wanted to figure out who their best investors were, right? Men or women, young or old, educated, you know, doctorate degrees, some college, high school only, all those things. right? So they sliced it and diced it. And as you might guess, although people would say, I know which ones are the best, you know, I got it, I nailed it. You know, I know which ones are the best investors out there. They got to be the you know, like the guys with doctorates because they understand, you know, mathematics and finances and stuff. And I don't. Or you might think women are better than men. Because that's just kind of an answer we throw out. But the answer is only one group of people was way better than any other. Everybody else just bunched in there, right? You know, but there's one group of people that had an incredible rate of return compared to everyone else. And what it was were the people that forgot they had an account. They didn't know they had one. They didn't know they had an account, so they couldn't overreact. They didn't want to make changes. They just left it alone. So what does it take in to be a great financial investor? Benign neglect. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. You don't have to believe me. You know it's true, but hey, Fidelity spent a bunch of money and gave us all the data, didn't they? The best people by far just ignored it? Really? Clever by half we are, huh? All right. Joe, thanks for the email here. Hi, Dave. I've got some really good gains on high-quality stocks that were way oversold. Are there any sectors that are still screaming buy? Well, Joe, I think by and large, the market's a screaming buy. I don't mean everything. The only area is the one I always talk about, right? The Procter & Gambles of the world, right? The dividend increasers, the consumer durables, if you will, right? Those are the consumer stocks that have been raising dividends crazily for decades. The problem is they've all taken on a lot of debt, the serial dividend increasers, okay? So you have to be careful in that space. Don't just buy a company because it's raised its dividends for a long time. The safest ones to buy when we talk about dividends are the ones that you think are going to be able to raise dividends crazily over the next, say, decade. Those are the best performing stocks. The ones that maybe they only pay 1%, but they're raising their dividend 15, 20% a year. They're killing it. Their payout ratio is 10%. They're making so much money, they're barely paying any out. Because they have a margin of safety. They have a layer of safety there. They're not like on the edge. See, what happens with utility stocks is they pay dividends for a while, and then something goes wrong, and then they cut their dividend. They don't raise it. They seem to cut them a lot. And if you get companies that are selling for, like they are in the consumer goods space, for over 20 times earnings, but they're growing by 1-3% a year. Okay, if you're using the old PEG ratio, this is, you know, Peter Lynch was famous for that, price to earnings growth rate. That's a terrible one. Buy a company that's growing rapidly that pays a lower dividend, and you will have a safer long-term investment there and a better performing one by far. Okay, so that's really about the only place that I think is really overpriced in the markets. And of course, I got to say again, you just got to be careful with bonds, less careful than when rates were going up every other month, but they're still very low. So be very careful with interest rate sensitive stocks as well. And that does not include REITs, in my opinion. That's an area that I think is very undervalued because it has been subject to the fear of rising rates. I understand that, and there will be some cases out there where there's problems. But with book values hovering at and below the street value, I mean, the net asset value of these REITs and all, I do think that's a screaming buy if you want something specific. The other ones, and I know you've seen the Googles, the Amazons, and all the super high-quality companies just go down, touch really low levels, 25-30% down, and then scream higher. But they're still off of their highs. So if you still like the long-term outlook, and that's why when we look at how much overall in the market we went down in spite of 20-plus percent gains in earnings, I'm so optimistic. And remember, markets don't do normal. So when we hear Wall Street talking about looking at a normal year, you know, where they think about 6-8% is what you'll average over the next year or two, we won't. We won't. It's not going to be good, or it'll probably be great. It's one or the other. It just doesn't do normal. Wall Street talks normal. Markets don't do normal. They're up a lot. They're down a little. Up a lot. Down a little. That's how we get that, quote, normal average. We don't get it because the market makes 8% every year. It doesn't. It just doesn't do it. All right, we got to take a quick break. Thank you for the email, Joe. And our email address is dave@petsofinancial.net. We got our final breakup coming, and we have nobody on the line. So give us a call here at 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And come on, we got all of our lines available. It'd be really nice if somebody wanted to call up. We got plenty of time left. Plenty of time. So please do. And in the meantime, let's go with an email here, okay? I understand, agree with your opinion of annuities. I also am not a fan of whole life insurance. My husband and I have been presented with a single premium deferred IRA. That's a mouthful. And maybe annuity. And current interest whole life insurance with convalescent care benefits for either or both insureds. Are you familiar with this? What do you think? Beth, I'm not a fan either. I think there's multiple ways to do better, to do things better. There are cases where a whole life is an excellent idea. And in the estate planning world, because the money's delivered tax-free, you can put it into irrevocable and life insurance trust so it stays out of the estate. There's a number of things that, that life insurance can function best at, but accumulating wealth is not one of them. Banking on yourself. There's lots of different, basically, theories to sell high commission products to people and make gobs of money. But if you really want to make gobs of money, you probably shouldn't be paying high commissions. And insurance still has that, and annuities do as well. Very, very high commissions when you consider that they're theoretically investment products. So when you're having something on an annuity that pays 7 to 10% commissions out up front, plus marketing cost, it just isn't going to work compared to buying into, quotes, the market, if you will, and paying next to nothing. So anyway, as you're looking at that, I would stay away from that. I don't. It doesn't sound like that's at all the circumstance you were being recommended to go into. So there's many more things to be talking about regarding that. And if you do, give us a call here. Love to go through any other iterations of what your basic question is. But to answer it, no. I'm familiar with it, and I wouldn't touch it. It is a high commission product. And yes, you can use it for convalescent care. Big deal. You can use cash for convalescent care, too. Can't you? Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I told you earlier today, too, that I wanted to touch on something that I was very pleased to get on Friday. Got a letter from the Department of Insurance that they're addressing some of the concerns that we took. Jennifer Stone and I went down and visited with, at their invitation, to come into the Department of Insurance and tell them, or you know, tell them why we were not happy with the job they're doing. And they listened, and we felt like they listened. And I get that it's a political time and all those things, and hey, we weren't sure if anything would be done either. But pleased to know that they are working on some of the marketing materials and have left the door open for us to visit more, which I'd love to do. That for me would be, if you will, politically or whatever, would be a way I'd like to be involved, right? It's kind of a, just in a, not politically, but in the back saying, these are the things that I'm seeing in my areas of expertise that I'd like to change. And so I appreciate Dean Cameron, who was also re-upped as the department head, sending out a very nice letter. So I just wanted to say, for those of us who are skeptical about political motives and all, meaning all of us, right? that the Department of Insurance is making some changes, and I'm very proud of them for doing so. And I will continue to tell you as this progresses. Okay. So again, I am just thrilled to hear one of the worst things that happens out there is that you can say anything you want and take it away in the contract, and that the marketing materials are very misleading, and they're going to be looking at those now. So way to go, Idaho. Way to lead Idaho. That's awesome. All right. Our number is 580-KIDO. Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. I just turned on and found the tail end of a comment that apparently you don't like annuities. And I'm just curious. I've just been visiting with somebody about that. And I'm 65 and going to be retiring in the next year or two. And I'm really nervous about the market.
Mm-hmm.
So an annuity was appealing to me because there's a floor and you can't drop below. So can you tell me your opinion at my age, whether or not that's something I should think about?
You bet. You bet. Number one, this is a long discussion, okay? So hopefully we'll get you to keep listening in, because we've talked about this, of course, issue for a couple decades now, right? Because it's just, these are high commission products, okay? And they are misleading and misrepresented. The marketing material is lying. It's terrible stuff. And when you break it apart and you look at what the markets do, like, for example, you invest right before. And we took real contracts in, like when we were talking to the Department of Insurance. And we have these in our office, and I'm happy to share them with anybody. These are real contracts, okay, from people that put money in at specific times that are very interesting. Like, what if you put money in right before the market crash in 2008? Well, a product that has a bottom to it would be the most amazing thing on the planet, right? Because you can't go down. Everybody else lost half their money, right? So we're talking about cherry picking, like, what this product would have the best times possible. And the rate of return is like 2%. It's two. It's like always 2 to 3%. It's full of all the takebacks in the world. And your money's tied up. When you finally learn that this is a really, really, really bad idea, you're stuck because the surrender charges are so high. You can't get out. And we just see them day after day after day. But everybody says, oh, you're going to get 7.2%. What that means is we have lots of data, happy to share with you, and try to keep this simple. If you're going to pay out somewhere around 15% total costs up front in commissions, which are around 10, and then you've got marketing costs, et cetera, what I can promise you is that product can't work. It can't work for you. Not the way you think it's going to work. Will it keep you from losing money? Probably yes, assuming the insurance company stays in business. Assuming you don't put in more than $250,000 or whatever the number is for different states, okay, that they'll guarantee if the insurance company fails. But the insurance company probably won't fail, because all they do is they take your money, they hedge it against loss, scrape their profit, and it's on autopilot now. There's nothing, they're at no risk at all. None. I mean, zero. It's all done with options. And then if the option market gets more expensive, Kathy, they have the right to change the contract. You don't. They do. You mean if I don't like the deal next year, then I should be able to get out, right? No, you can't get out. But they can. So they can tell you we have our cap is at 5%. Asterisk. We can change this every year. Who would get in a contract that I can't get out of for, let's just call it 10 years, without massive cost? I can't have any of the upside of the market, but I won't lose money. But if they change the deal and it gets more expensive, meaning they cap my upside even more, but I can't get out, you got to be kidding me. I wouldn't even consider getting into a deal like that. Now, to take it one step further, and I'm going to have to go here, I decided to go out and see what could we do to ask investment banks to create a product for us. Okay? Go create a product that would absolutely guarantee. What would that cost? So you would have actual upside in the market. How much? I don't know, 80%? Would it be 100%? And how far out would I have to tie it up to guarantee I don't lose money? They're out there all over the place. And guess what you get? 100% of the upside of the market. Not no upside, but they don't pay commissions. It's available. Hey, Kathy, we got to talk some more another time. Thank you so much for your phone call. Great question, and I thank you again for tuning in.